the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcasts on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today, continuing our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John. Now, I do want to let you know there are only 2.5 weeks left in this series, so tune in each and every time you can, Monday through Friday. Well, right now, we're going to hear that great song, All for Jesus. Enjoy the music, and then Dr. Green.
Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransom price, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform His bidding, let my feet run in His way. Jesus on me, let my lips speak forth His praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, let my lips speak forth His praise. All for Jesus, all for Jesus,
and now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Dear Heavenly Father, lead us now as we study Thy Word in Jesus' name. Amen. On the last 3 or 4 broadcasts, I read the first 10 verses in the Gospel of John. I'm not going to read them today. We are studying the resurrection. Now, I want to deliver a message today and maybe tomorrow, and then we'll move on. But I said several days ago now that the resurrection is the divine imperative if you would stay out of hell. The holy, sinless life of Jesus alone could not have saved us. Now, don't call me a heretic because I'm not a heretic. I'm not a heretic. The holy, sinless life of Jesus could not have saved us alone. His death on the cross, His shed blood alone could not have saved us. It took the death, burial, and the resurrection according to the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 15:1 and following, I read it, I emphasized it. According to the Scriptures, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is salvation. You must believe in His death. You must believe in His burial. You must believe in His resurrection according to the Scriptures if you hope to step inside the pearly gates. Now today, I want us to begin reading with 1 Corinthians 15:51. And this is in connection with John chapter 20, the resurrection. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Now all believers will not die. Not all believers. Some believers will be living when Jesus comes the second time in the rapture. And I'm going to read some other scripture today, if time permits, on that. All believers will not die. Those who have died will be raised incorruptible, and they will be raised before the living believers are changed. Now, watch this very closely. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, it's no longer a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All will be changed. All believers are not going to die, but all believers will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, that's very rapidly, that's quickly, I think you'll agree, in the twinkling of an eye, just the twinkling of an eye, and it'll all be over at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The living, the born again, shall be changed. Now, there are those who will cheat the grave, they'll cheat the undertaker, and they'll be caught up without dying. Hallelujah! What a glorious hope for the believer. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus would come today? You say, no, preacher. No, Brother Green, because I have loved ones, I have neighbors, I have friends who are lost. But listen, beloved, if Jesus tarries another week or a month or a year or 5 or 10, there'll be more sinners than they are now. I've been preaching in tents 32 years. I've been doing evangelistic work for 32 years. And beloved, back yonder, when I started 32 years ago, I had a little tent, a little 40 by 60 tent, and they packed it and they filled it service after service. When we gave the invitation, they filled the mourner's bench, the altar at the front of the tent, down in the shavings on their knees crying out to God. Now, we still have a tent full. Oh, yes, the big tent. Just recently, when we were up in Bel Air, in the meeting there, just recently in that area, the tent was filled. Oh, yes, full of people. Oh, yes. But what about the altar? No, 95% of the people, 95% of the people who attend church revivals, tent revivals, or revival services, wherever they are conducted, they are born again people. Born again people. Sinners are not going to the house of God. Sinners are not going to tent meetings. You know, when I started preaching 32 years ago, the people went to a tent meeting simply to have somewhere to go. But brothers, sinners don't need to look for somewhere to go today. The devil has delivered anything that hell manufactures to the home, to the front room, to the front door, to the back door, to the backyard. In other words, you don't have to go anywhere today. It's the easiest and the most attractive to go to hell today it has ever been in the history of mankind. And it's going to get worse and worse, worse. Oh, yeah, you say, there's Green, the calamity howler. Calamity howler, always looking on the dark side. Well, read your Bible, read your Bible. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when Jesus, the Son of Man, is revealed from heaven. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Boys are dying today. As I preach on the radio, men are dying, and they'll keep on dying. And men will not beat their swords in the plowshares. They will not beat their spears into pruning hooks until Jesus comes again. There'll never be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Poverty will never be erased from the face of the earth until Jesus comes. And then, glory to God, we'll have what politicians have promised but have failed to fulfill. They can't do it. All right. So we'll be changed. We'll be raised incorruptible and changed. Yes, there'll be more sinners. You say, I hope he doesn't come today. You know, there's a song. Now, I'm not critical. God knows I don't want to become a soured critic. But we have a song. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. Listen, beloved. Now, God knows my heart. God knows my mind. God knows my spirit and soul. You don't. God knows. I love sinners. I'd do anything in the world right and reasonable and honorable to get a sinner saved. I'd do anything. I'd sit up all night. I'd do anything. But please wait, Jesus. No, the Bible says, even so, come quickly. Even so, come quickly. Come quickly, Jesus. Hasten thy coming. Speed thy coming. Why? Because evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and it's going to keep on. Now, we will never get our glorified body until Jesus comes. We'll never get our resurrection But until Jesus, we'll be with Jesus. The spirit goes to paradise. The split second that a born-again child of God departs this life, the spirit goes to be with Jesus. The spirit goes to be with the Lord. But we will not get our glorified body until the rapture. In the first epistle of John chapter 3, verses 1 and following, John the beloved disciple tells us that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and of course that is the rapture. When the rapture occurs, we'll see Jesus and we'll be like him. Now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now in this same chapter, in verse 26, I read just a few days ago, and this is all in connection with John chapter 20, the resurrection of Jesus. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now I'm going to read you a verse in just a few minutes about that. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, according to the Holy Spirit and according to the Apostle Paul, death is an enemy. Death is still an enemy. You know, death came by sin. By one man came death, and by one man came the resurrection of the dead. Christ the first fruits, and they that are his at his appearing, and that is the rapture. When Jesus comes, we who are born again, all who are born again, will be caught up to meet Jesus in the clouds in the air. Now then, we cry out, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting, rather? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let me talk about these verses, and then I want to go to another passage and point out some things about the resurrection and what Jesus accomplished. Now, this will all be over in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the rapture occurs. The dead in Christ, the bodies of the dead will be raised. The spirits of the righteous will unite with the bodies raised incorruptible, and the living righteous will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and together will be caught up in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. Now I said a moment ago, death is an enemy. O death, where is thy sting? You see, death destroys the body, that is, the physical body. Now, the sinner, of course, will die eternally in the lake of fire, but I'm talking about a Christian now. Death destroys the body, and the believer goes to be with Jesus, the Spirit, and the believer rests in paradise until the resurrection. Therefore, now wait just a minute, let me make this clear. Now, we'll see in chapter 20 of John, in just a few more verses, we'll see that Jesus said, Mary, don't touch me. Mary, don't touch me. I have not ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Now, here is what I believe. When a Christian dies, they are certainly conscious. They are not unconscious. When the spirit departs the body, the spirit of a believer is conscious. And the spirit goes to paradise. The spirit is in bodily form. Now, just a minute. Don't call me a heretic. Don't call me a heretic, because when we get down there in the 20th chapter of John, I'll explain it fully when we read that verse. But now, Jesus said, Mary, don't touch me yet. She was about to put her arms around the feet of Jesus and worship him, and they did later. They put their arms around his feet, and they kissed him and his feet, and they worshipped him, and they touched him, and they handled him. He said, put your hands on me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. And it's a little S, and you'll see that in Luke chapter 24. Now, here's what I'm saying. When a born-again believer departs this life, the body goes back to dust, the spirit goes back to God, and the spirit is not just something that can't be seen or something that's unconscious floating around. The spirit has bodily shape. I believe that. I believe every righteous person that has died, every believer that has died, I believe they now have a body like Jesus had before he ascended to the Father. Before he went back to the Father. Now, when he went back to the Father, and then when he appeared on the road to Emmaus, and talked as he walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, He sat with them. He broke the bread. He ate. And, of course, later on, he said to his disciples, he said, do you have any meat? And they gave him broiled fish and honeycomb. And Jesus said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones. And that's a little S, meaning a spirit, as men think of spirits, hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Now, Jesus had a body when he just walked out of the tomb. He walked out in a body, and he stood there, but he said, Mary, now don't touch me, don't touch me. Now don't touch me, Mary, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now, listen carefully. Jesus ascended to the Father. And I believe just as much as I believe he died on the cross, and I believe just as much as I believe he shed his blood on the cross, I believe he ascended to the Heavenly Father and presented the blood to the Father, and the blood is there in the Holy of Holies today. The blood of Jesus Christ is there. Now let me say this to you, the blood of Jesus was the blood of God. Acts 20:28, the blood of Jesus. Jesus purchased the church of the living God with God's own blood. The blood in the veins of Jesus was not the blood of a man. It was not the blood of Mary. It was the incorruptible blood of God. And the blood of Jesus cannot corrupt. The blood of Jesus cannot disappear or go away or decay. The blood of Jesus was the blood of God, and God's blood is incorruptible. And I believe Jesus ascended to the Father. He presented the blood, and now when he returns, he's in a body. He walks, he talks, he says, put your hands on me. He ate broiled fish and honeycomb. Now I believe that our loved ones who've gone on, my little boy, my little brother, my daddy, and thousands of my friends who've gone on to paradise, they have bodies, they have spiritual bodies. But praise God, when Jesus comes in the rapture, we'll have a body of flesh, F-L-E-S-H, and bones, B-O-N-E-S, bones, no blood, flesh and bones. And that's the kind of a body we'll have throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity that lies ahead for all of us. Now, I believe that because the Scriptures teach that, and that's exactly what the Holy Spirit reveals to me as I read. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. In other words, we can't take it in yet. It doth not appear to us. Our poor finite minds cannot comprehend. For instance, Jesus went through closed doors. He went through a door. We'll see that later. He went through a door that was shut. The windows were shut. The doors were shut. He traveled all the way to heaven and back in a matter of a very short time. Just all the way to heaven and back. You know, when we shoot our little rockets at the moon and Mars, it takes days for them to reach out there. And, of course, Mars, it takes months, but days to the moon. Why, bless the Lord, Jesus went to the Father's house and back in just a very, very short period of time. Just a little span. And he appeared, there he was standing talking to Mary, and he said, I haven't been to the Father yet. He went to the Father, and then in just a little, just a very short time, he was walking down the road to Emmaus with those two men. The same day, walking down the road, talking with them. What a Savior, what a body. And that's the kind of a body we're going to have when we have our glorified body. Now here's the sad thing. I mentioned when I read the first verses of John chapter 20, the only time some precious church members ever hear a sermon on the resurrection is on Easter Sunday morning. Yes, sir. Easter Sunday morning, the same outline, the same sermon, almost the same words, over and over and over again, the same thing every Easter, and then the resurrection is forgotten until the next Easter. Let me say emphatically and dogmatically, without hesitation, reservation, apology, or fear, the bodily resurrection of Jesus is just as necessary to salvation as his virgin birth. The bodily resurrection of Jesus, just as necessary salvation as his sinless life. The bodily resurrection of Jesus, just as necessary as his death on the cross, his shed blood. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is just as much a divine imperative as having to do with salvation as his ascension or any part of his ministry, his life, his work, his miracles, any part of it. The resurrection is a divine necessity. And you'll believe in it or you'll roast in the lake of fire. Now let me answer this. Or let me point this. Answer this question. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Of course, the Bible answers. Let me discuss it. the sting of death is sin. Sin is the thing that makes death sting. You see, sin brought death. If Adam had never sinned, he'd be alive today. If Eve had never sinned, she'd be alive today. Adam and Eve sinned and they died. Through Adam, sin came and death by sin. Through the last Adam, the resurrection of the dead, we are delivered from death. And praise God, we live without fear because perfect love casteth out fear, and he that feareth hath not been made perfect in love. So if you're afraid to die, and if you're afraid to face God, and if you're afraid to face the future, and if you're afraid to face the past, if you live in fear, you just need to come to Jesus and bow in humble submission to God and ask God to save you for Jesus' sake, and God will save you. Now, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. Now, what is sin? Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, that's 1 John chapter 3. But listen, Jesus said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus fulfilled and filled full every jot and every tittle of God's law. Therefore, he removed the stinger from sin. He removed the stinger from death. Now, a Christian may die in agony. A believer may die with cancer or some other horrible disease that racks the body with excruciating pain. A believer may die in agony, but they do not die in fear. Death has no sting for a believer. And if you're afraid to die, you'd better get on your knees and talk to God. You'd better get somewhere alone and open your Bible to John 5:24, Romans 10:9-10, Ephesians 2:8-9. Read it, believe it, get out on your knees and ask Jesus to save you, and believe it, and he'll take away fear, and he'll give you peace that passeth all understanding, and he'll give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Now, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Therefore, Christ is the end of fear to everyone that believeth. I don't want to die. I'm not anxious to die, but I'm not afraid to die. And if you're born again, you're not afraid to die either. So face it. Perfect love casteth out fear. God is love. Christ and God are one in our salvation. So when you possess Jesus, you possess God. You receive Jesus, you receive God. And when you possess Jesus, God, you have the love of God. And the love of God removes the fear of dying. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah! He rose again. Death could not hold him. It was not possible that death should hold Jesus. The grave could not hold him. It was not possible that the grave hold the Lamb of God. Thank God for his death. Thank God for his resurrection. Thank God for his sinless life. Thank God he rose again. He conquered the world, the flesh, the devil, death, hell, and the grave. He has the keys to hell and death. And praise God, in Jesus we have peace. Peace! We have assurance, and we know that we'll be in that number when the saints go marching in. Father, honor thy word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus, and save every soul that's under conviction. Reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, and save especially that soul that's nearest hell, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and as we bring today's program to a close, I'm happy to tell you that we have a new gift offer for you for this week and the next couple of weeks. We call it Gift Offer D, D as in David, and the theme of this offer is eternity. That's something we all, as Christians, look forward to, spending eternity with Christ. But we all need to learn more about that subject. Now, in gift offer D, there are two items. First is a book by my late father, Dr. Green, and also a CD of music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians. Two great items in this offer, and it's available to you if you simply ask for it by name, offer D, and send the donation to the ministry in the amount of $10 or more. I hope that you can add some more to that, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, because your donations keep this program on the air. But if you can send a donation of $10 or more and ask for offer D, I'm going to send you first a book entitled Eternal Life. This is a hardback book, 188 pages long. Now it has a foreword by my dad plus 10 chapters focusing on eternity. So you can see where this book is going to be very useful to you learning more about eternity and eternal life. Then we have an album we have put together of my personal favorites, Eternal Promises of God. There are 17 songs on this album, such as Sweet Hour of Prayer, Jesus I Come, and so on. So I know that you will enjoy listening to this album over and over. So to get both of these great items, just ask for gift offer D and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.